Yeah, we're in Proverbs chapter 30. I was just laughing because I use a mobile phone to record this, and I've just seen that I'm overdrawn in the bank. It just told me. So there you go. That's why I'm smiling. Why Proverbs? Proverbs are for living wisely in God's world. And what we have here is practical instruction. And the book of Proverbs will end with two small collections that have been brought together. One is from a man called Agur and the other from Lemuel. And they're sort of extended proverbs and they're more statements. And we're going to look at some of the things in both of them. And then we're going to finish with Solomon on guidance in relationships. Okay, so there's something here for everyone. Collection number one, chapter 30, is the sayings of Agur. Okay, so chapter 30, verse 1, the sayings of Agur, an oracle of Jakka, an oracle. This declared to Ithiel, and to Ucal. Who exactly is Agur? Well, no one knows. No one knows who he is. But he's a man with a number of thoughts. He has great humility. So verses 2 to 4, he basically says, who can know wisdom but God alone? But he makes a number of statements, and we're going to look at three. Something he says about wealth, something he says about fire, and something he's going to say about God's word. Wealth, fire, and first of all, God's word. Have a look at verse 5, chapter 30, verse 5. He says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. It's about God's words, the word of God. Then, when Agur was speaking, it was probably just the Old Testament, and not even the completed Old Testament was God's word. Now, we have the full revelation, Old Testament and New Testament. And what does he say? He says, beyond relevance, God's word is perfect. It is absolutely flawless. It is without error. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because who is God? God is flawless. God is perfect. And so when he speaks, yeah, from a perfect deity will come perfect words. No mistakes in what he says. Over the years, particularly in the 1970s, there was a great theological battle over the subject of inerrancy. Is the Bible without error as originally given? And where Proverbs says, yes, it is. It says that it's perfect, and it says that its word can act as a refuge for the soul. So you've got trouble, you've got problems, you've got pressure, they're going to come, but the good news is that by God's word, you will be protected. It will give you the protection that you need. But the protection will go if you add to his words. If you add to his words, there will be no protection for you. Because then what are you doing? You're mixing the words of a perfect God with the words of an imperfect man. Perfect words from God, imperfect words from man equals imperfect words. When are we tempted to do this in history? Well, it's usually when we say that the way to heaven, the way to forgiveness, is faith plus works. Faith plus what you do religiously or what you do in life. You know, I attend church, I've got some faith and I attend, therefore I'm going to heaven. No, that's not the way. It's a repentance and faith way. You must not add to the scriptures. And he says, if you do, what does he say in verse 6? I will rebuke you. Yeah, I will rebuke you. It's a very serious thing to add to God's words or encourage people to add to God's words. We mustn't say things that he does not say. Okay, so that's something on God's word. very important for us. The second thing is on wealth, okay? On wealth, and this is going to explain to my children, especially, why we're not living in Hampstead, okay? So verse 7 says this, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me, and give me neither poverty or riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Our world knows the dangers of poverty. The Bible knows the dangers of poverty and wealth. If you're too poor, you may try to break the law to get money for whatever you need. Okay, that's going to be an ongoing temptation. But if you have too much wealth, you can forget God. And you can think, all this, everything I own, everything I have, it's all down to me. It's all down to me. My abilities, my talents, my knowing this person, it's all down to me. Isn't that the UK today? Isn't it? It's all down to us. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Yeah, wealthiest, one of the wealthiest nations in the world. It's all down to us. What's God got to do with it? Wealth increased, Agur tells us, the Bible tells us, can mean an increase in collective arrogance and pride. It's all down to me. And so the answer to it is this, is to pray. Lord, give me neither poverty or give nor, and do not give me wealth. Just give me what I need. Okay? And that's why I'm not in Hampstead today. Yeah, I'm not in Westminster because I've prayed that prayer on and off. And I believe God has answered it. It's also meant I've had something to eat. But it's a prayer worth praying. And if Britain were to pray this prayer, it would release us from a lot of our arrogance, wouldn't it? Give me neither wealth nor poverty. Wise prayer to pray. So something that Agur's told us about wealth, something he's told us about the word, he's going to tell us something about fire. Fire. So verse 15. And watch his chapter 30, verse 15. Look at his technique, the way he teaches. Very clever. Verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. Now, what he's got there is a very clever technique, okay? So if I were to say to you, I want you to listen carefully to three things I'm about to tell you, and then I suddenly say, not three things, yes, 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 but four, what are you going to focus on? You're going to listen for the first three, but you're really going to focus on the fourth, aren't you? That's what he does as a technique. So you're going to pay attention to one, pay attention to two, pay attention to three, but you're really going to set up for the fourth. So what is the fourth one here? It's fire. Fire never says enough. It's never satisfied. Yeah. So fire is committed to burning. That's what it does. It burns and burns and burns. And it never grows tired of burning. It never grows bored with burning. There's always something for a fire to try to burn. It will keep burning until there's nothing left to burn, until it causes utter devastation. Yeah? Now remember, this was a society that's pre-electricity. So most of the time for food, light, warmth, you have to create a fire. Yeah, children need to know how to create fire. These guys need to know how to create fires in Bible times, don't they? You got to know. And in a day where there's no established fire service, what have we got here? We've got here effectively a public announcement film, which is what we used to have when I was growing up. From nowhere, before a TV program, they'd have little like 30-second adverts about fires and why you should be very careful with them. Yeah, and in our day, we had kids walking around, actually these same age as these guys, me and my brother, just walking through Kensal Green with paraffin, just wandering around paraffin. Nowadays, health and safety would just come down on us. Then we were just walking down the road with it for our fires. Don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. Be careful starting a fire. Be careful maintaining a fire. Yeah? Tell Simon, don't we? Yeah. In the back. Be careful with fire, bro. Could put a set in the whole place, could set next door alight. Yeah? Don't play with fire. And it's added significance in the Bible. Because how is God described? Consuming fire. Consuming fire. How is his judgment described? Eternal fire. Yeah? How is the Lord Jesus described? The light of the world. That's not a light bulb up here. We're talking about a torch. I'm the light of the world. I'm going to guide you to glory. Don't play with fire. Don't play with your Creator. Don't play games with him. Don't mess with him. He will make us great promises, but we can't have him for a laugh. We must be careful in our dealings with him. Okay, so three words on fire, on wealth and the word. Let's turn to the collection of Lemuel. Lemuel, chapter 31, verse 1. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. His mum told him this. He's a king, so what does that make her? The queen mother. This is one of the few passages where the voice of a woman is prominent. This is advice she gave him about running the country. Relevance to us today, we live, most of us, in a democracy. Yeah? You have to make the choice of who is going to rule you, to rule over you. So you need to know what you're looking for, don't you? Okay, and well, she's going to help us. What does she say? Verse 2. Oh, my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. The politicians line up to tell us, don't come too close. Here are my policies. Here's my personal life. Yeah? Examine me on my policies, what I'm going to do for the country. Don't ask too many questions about what I'm up to. And Proverbs and Lemuel's mum says, don't listen to them. Look at the policies. Look at their lives. That's what she says. Yeah? Look at their lives. And what does she say? She says, you can't be an effective leader if you're chasing skirts. You can't do it if you're chasing women. You'll be a poor leader. You can't do that. You need to let it go. And vice versa, if it's a woman in charge. Yeah? If you're chasing men all over the place, you can't be an effective leader. A player, a ladies man, playboy, shouldn't be a leader. Why? It's an interesting reason she gives. It's not just that it offends God and is against his law. She says it will sap your energy. It will be a total distraction. Yeah? It will sap your energy, your focus, your strength, your thinking. You can't think about the bigger matters of the economy and national security because you're too busy thinking about meeting up with your secretary in the evening. You can't do it. What words of wisdom? Hey, they say the Bible's not relevant. We can all think of world leaders, national leaders, who have failed in this area and have been poor leaders as a result. And the whole country has suffered. That's one thing. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the Lord decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. There have been leaders in this country, prominent leaders, who will have statues outside Parliament, who were almost out of control with their drinking. And nationally, we got away with it. There are also, in one instance, someone who political insiders knew was an alcoholic, yet they were trying to put him forward as a future prime minister in this country in the last 20 years. What does Lemuel's mum say? You can't be a leader if you have no self-control in the area of alcohol or all substances. You've got to be in control. You've got to stay off the booze. You've got to cut down on the booze. So the party animal, yeah, who says, just look at my policies. Don't worry about what I'm doing in private. No. Bible's clear. They need to have some control. They need to have control. What a relevant book the Bible is. Okay, positively, verse 8 and 9. Says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Positively, what are we looking for? You're looking for someone who's going to govern for all the people. Not just some of the people, all the people, especially the vulnerable. Especially the vulnerable. And that's important because when God gives us his law, what does he say about the poor? He builds in protection in the law for the people. Which is something almost no one does. It's built into your law. You must help your fellow Israelite who falls on hard times. Lemuel's mum says, speak up. Speak up and give justice to people. Yeah, so the leader who says nothing about the poor, either at home or overseas, look out for them. Watch out for them. Is that someone you should be supporting? Is that someone who you should be giving your vote to? No, the good leader will govern for all the people, not just their mates and their pals and their supporters and their benefactors. They're trying to go for everyone. Isn't the Bible a relevant book? Which takes us to the last statement, really. The last piece of advice we're going to get. And this is from Solomon himself. And it's all about guidance. The right relationships. Yeah. In the case of, remember Solomon's writing to his sons. So in the case of his sons, the right wife. Well, you can reverse that as well. Now, the relevance is, you, at some point in the future, may get married. Some of you may get married again. Some of you may be asked for advice from children or younger believers. What are you going to tell them about getting married? Solomon helps us. What do we learn? Verse 10. A wife of noble character, chapter 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. So first thing to note is, this is not easy. It's not an easy thing. If you're a person who perhaps is looking for a marriage partner and you're feeling slightly stressed about it all or looking for that right relationship, it's no surprise. Solomon, who's an expert, we're going to see later on, with relationships, he says, no, this is not easy. But when you find that person, is invaluable. It will be the most valuable thing you have. Yeah? Not your bling, not your bank account, not your car. It will be the relationship with that person. It's worth more than rubies. You wouldn't trade it, that right relationship. So what should you look for? Well, what he says in verse 10 is noble character. You're looking for character. What is that man, what is that woman like? How do you find out? I observe, I listen. I observe and I listen and I think. So one of the most underplayed parts in terms of guidance is, Christian guidance is the mind, the sanctified mind. Many people treat the mind with suspicion when it comes to guidance. I'm not sure we can really trust it. But yet they're trusting in promptings, in certain things happening, in perhaps a vision here or there. The mind is seen as dodgy. But who gave you the mind? Did not God give you the mind? God has given us minds to think. If you're a Christian, he's given you something more. He's given you a sanctified mind, a mind that is now being affected by the Holy Spirit himself, so that your thinking is changing and is maturing and is growing. And from that, you can prayerfully make wise decisions. In fact, I would say 95% of the decisions you will make as a Christian, you could make with your mind. It appears, yeah, there are those times when God will prompt us. He will give us a vision. He will give us a dream. But much of the time, what's he giving us? What's right there? Prayerfully coming to him and thinking it over. Now, what are you looking for in a marriage partner? Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Okay? She is a hard worker. So where some unfortunate Christian leader says, the woman's place is in the home, in the kitchen. Proverbs 31. You need to read the Bible. Because it's far more complex and involved than you think. Yeah? She's a hard, industrious lady. She has a work-life balance. And that's what you're going to look for. And if you can't look for it, if you can't observe it, what are you going to do? Hold back. Hold back. Don't plunge in emotionally. Speak to other people who know that person. Okay, so I've got one friend of mine. He met a lady at another church. He's 100 miles from her. He don't know what she's like. So what does he do? He phones someone who knows her. So what's she like as a person? She's great. She's brilliant. Okay, then ask her out then. There you go. They've been married 20 odd years. Probably 30 years now. They got 5 kids. There you go. Speak to others who know them. Where is she or he on the poverty issue? That's important. So verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Okay? There's care for the vulnerable. Obedience to God's law. Look for the person who respects the vulnerable in society. That's one thing I look for in a person. Are they warm to all people? Where is she on the wisdom issue? Verse 26. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. So when it comes to Proverbs, she's read the book, she's seen the film, she's bought the t-shirt. Yeah? When it comes to God's wisdom, she's sold out. She's living by the truths. And that is a wise person, man or woman, to marry, the one who practices God's wisdom. And again, that's a call to listen and to observe. And then we come to this great summary, verse 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her her reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. So, younger guys, certainly younger men, that's my experience. When it came to women, it was about looks, okay? And when we stopped talking about looks, then it was about more looks. The thing to know is looks won't last. Yeah, looks don't last. It all goes south eventually, doesn't it? Whatever we do, it's going south. It's hard to look at Beyonce or Bella Hadid and say, I can't see what they're going to look like. It will go down. They will need help. Like we'll all need some help if we're going to take it. Looks don't last. What else doesn't last is charm doesn't last. Manner doesn't last. It can captivate. It can impress us in the early days. But you can't keep it up. You can't keep up the patter. You can't keep up the banter. You can't keep up the chat lines. You have to stop at some point. And then the real you is revealed. Yeah? And so don't look for the patter. Don't fall for the patter, the looks, the banter. Don't let them overwhelm you. Wait and observe. Okay? Wait and observe. And so where does Proverbs finish? The very place it started. Remember chapter 1? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How does it end? Verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Who are you looking for? You're looking for a man, depend on who you are, woman, relationship, walking with God. One who loves God, one who awes God, one who reverences God. That is the person you are looking for if you are doing something similar. Yeah? If you are not fearing the Lord, do not go with someone who is. If you are fearing the Lord, don't go with someone who's not. It's what the fearful people should marry fearful people. People who reverence the Lord must marry those who reverence the Lord. New Testament, the Apostle Paul will say, marry in Christ. Yeah, another believer. Unite with the person who has already united to him. That is important. Lots of relationships go into massive issues if you are united to someone who's not. Okay, there is the issue of deception as well. But if you knowingly do that, then there can be all sorts of trouble. So as we finish, what's next for us? We read through Proverbs 31. We see all this advice. Where do I go from here? Well, the one is to prayerfully observe. Yeah, go to the other passages of the scripture. There are more passages for us. And the other thing is get ready. How do I get ready? Grow your fear. Grow your fear of the Lord. The greatest way to fear the Lord is to study the life of the Son. Study the life of Jesus. Trust in his death and his resurrection. Turn from disobedience. Follow him. And a promise is you will be filled with the spirit of the wisest person who has ever lived, the Lord Jesus. He wants to change you, forgive you, but also give you the mind, his heart, the wisest person who's ever lived. So what do you have if you're a Christian? Do you know what you have in terms of wisdom? Are you living as spiritual paupers, yeah, when you are in fact a spiritual millionaire? What is it you have this morning? You have God's wisdom on tap. Yeah? God's wisdom on tap, freely available to you as you ask, for all who are in Christ. Wisdom is spiritually at your fingertips. Taste and see. Drink it in. Drink it up. Drink it in. Enjoy it. Wisdom for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.